going to be in a couple of different places this morning, and I hope that it'll all tie together. But since this is the first time that I've seen everybody in person in a while since I was out last Sunday, I want to first say thank you to Brother Travis for filling in last Sunday, and I appreciate that. And but I also want to thank everyone for their thoughts and their prayers for my grandmother. She is now in a much better place, and we had good travels back and forth and got to see a lot of family that I hadn't got to see in a very long time. So I told them, I said, it's a shame that we had to go to a funeral to be able to see everybody, but I guess that's the way it is now. But anyway, Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 14. Stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's Word. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to come to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was mad. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their cities. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou it hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king of servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but for many are called, but few are chosen. Now flip over to Revelation 19, and let's look at verses 7 through 9. You there? Say amen. All right. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for each and every one here this morning. And I just ask the preaching and teaching of your word today. Lord, I just ask you for receptive hearts and minds to receive your message. Lord, we pray for the ones that couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason. I ask you to bless them in a mighty way. Lord, we know that there's burdens here this morning. So, Lord, I just ask you to have your way in each of those circumstances. But, Lord, we pray that if there be one here that's lost and undone without you, Lord, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, have your way and your will in this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here in our text, we see Jesus teaching in a parable. He's using a simple story in order to catch the attention and to give the audience a way of understanding a message in a little bit better way. It's like us comparing different things and just giving illustrations. But here he is talking about the nation of Israel rejecting him as their Messiah. And he's using this story in a way to warn them of what is coming, the future that is going to come to pass. But he also uses this illustration to share his intent through what he was sent to do as the Savior of the world. It was, and that intent was to fill the Father's house with people other than the religious people that were there listening to him that day. In this parable, we see the kind, the king sends his servants. The king sends his servants out to find other guests to come to the wedding celebration that is being held. And as they gather together, the king notices a man there that is there at the wedding, but he doesn't have on the wedding garments. And this man, we're told, is cast out of the wedding celebration. So by using this parable, Jesus here paints an illustration, a picture of salvation. You see, when the people there rejected him as their Messiah, he turned to other people. He turned to those that weren't the religious crew. He turned to anybody and everybody that would come to the wedding. And the reason that he did that was this. He wants to fill heaven with those that love him, whether they be Jew or Gentile. He doesn't matter. He doesn't care. Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That was you and I. That's what he came for, so that he could fill his Father's house in glory with people that would come to the wedding. Y'all gonna have to wake up, or I'm going to come out there amongst you. I know y'all used to being in a car and having a windshield or having a mask on, or you can't talk, or you just, everybody sounds like, rrr. That's what they sound like now. But the Bible tells us that one day there's going to be a gathering in heaven. There's going to be a gathering in heaven. And this gathering, this celebration is known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a gathering. It's going to be a glorious celebration. Now, there's something there that I want to focus on. In order for you to take part in this ceremony, there's a certain thing that you've got to have. There's a certain way that you must be dressed. I want to read that verse again over in Revelation again to you, if I can get back to my place. Revelation 19, verse 8, and it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Here we are told that the people that are attending this heavenly celebration, this marriage supper of the Lamb, would be dressed in pure white garments. And so we see in Matthew, in the parable, this parable that he is teaching and telling, that a man was not wearing his wedding garment, and he was kicked out of the celebration. So in Revelation, we see all those that are attending the wedding are clothed in a certain way, clothed in white, fine, pure, clean linen. One is spotless, is clean, it is perfection. And then in Matthew, we see that if the man that came to the wedding, that was there amongst everybody else, that was wearing the garment, there was one man that stuck out like a sore thumb. He wasn't wearing the garment. And what happened to him? He wasn't welcomed. He was kicked out of the celebration. So it seems to me that there's something special about the garment that we wear when it's come time to be at this wedding. The garment is very important. When it comes time for the wedding, it seems from the Bible's perspective that you must be dressed properly or you will not be admitted. The Bible tells us that we must be robed with righteousness. And if you're not, you're not invited to the wedding. You're not invited to the wedding. You're not invited to the celebration that's going to take place in heaven one day. In other words, you're not going to be welcomed in heaven at all. People don't like to think about it, but this whole phase of time that we've been in the last however many months has got people thinking about eternal things a lot more than what they have in the past. But if you haven't, let me tell you, eternity is coming. The end of your life is coming. And the days are passing faster and faster. I don't know if it's because we're just getting older or if it's just the way that we live our lives, but whatever the cause, it just seems that the days go by quicker and quicker and quicker. And whether you know it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, our lives will not last forever. And you need to be absolutely certain. You need to be absolutely certain that when your name is called, when the end of your life comes, you are in the proper attire to get to the wedding. When you reach the end of your earthly journey, are you prepared for the wedding? So this morning I want to preach around this question. Are you dressed for the wedding? Are you dressed for the wedding? I want to look at a few things this morning. Number one, I want you to see about this garment, the availability of it. The availability of it. In Matthew verses 22, verses 9 through 10, we see this. Now remember, this is a parable of the king giving instruction. This is Jesus giving a parable, a story of a king giving instructions to his people. He's saying, go ye therefore into the highways. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And as many as you shall find, ask them to come to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. The availability of the garment. The king sent his servants into the highways and into the byways. He literally sent them to everywhere that they could find people, whether it be in good places or bad places, whether it be good people or bad people, to gather everyone that would come, say, hey, come to this party. Come to this wedding celebration. Come because the king wants you. He wants you there. If you'll come, he'll give you this garment and you are welcome at the wedding. But notice this, he didn't give any other stipulations other than to invite them and ask them to come. That was it. That was the only stipulation. Whoever will come, let them come. Let them come. You see, in weddings today, we send out invitations to who we want to be at the wedding. And if you don't want somebody at the wedding, guess what? They don't get an invitation. But guess what? This message here, the king in this parable, he wasn't concerned about the character of the person. He didn't care about the past of the person. He didn't care what social standing they were. He didn't care about their abilities or inabilities. He didn't care about their popularity. He didn't care what a political party they were a part of. He didn't take anything into consideration. He just wanted to, whoever would fill up the Father's house, to come fill it up for the wedding celebration. Folks, that's exactly what was accomplished when Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. That so whosoever would call on him could make it to heaven. To make it to heaven. You see, Jesus came to prepare a way that was open to every individual. Everybody, bad or good, it did not matter. He came a way to get to heaven for people from all walks of life. The invitation was given to anyone that would come. So the king sends out his servants to invite people to this wedding. To invite people, anyone, just come. You see, the good thing about Jesus and the salvation that he offers, anyone, it is available to anyone. Anybody can be saved by God's perfect grace. But there's a stipulation. And we get this wrong a lot of times. In order for somebody to be invited to the wedding, you've got to give them an invitation, right? In other words, the Lord's got to deal with that person. It's called conviction. It's called the Holy Spirit dealing with that individual. We've gotten this wrong so many times, and I think this is where we see so many false declarations of salvation, because people walk the aisle and get saved because everyone else is doing it, or it just seems like the happening thing at that time. They have an emotional experience, but they don't have a personal experience. And the Holy Spirit has never dealt with them. The Holy Spirit has to deal with the individual's heart. He has to invite that person to come to the wedding, to the celebration, to accept Him as Savior. But this is where people mess up. The invitation is given, but people don't accept it. People get the Holy Spirit's conviction on their life, but they don't do anything with it. It's just like we get spam mail in the mailbox. You know what happens to it? I look at it and I say, ha, you've been selected to win $10 million. Just take this key to this place and it's going to unlock something. Yeah, right. Trash. File 13. But that's what people do when God deals with their heart. They put it off. They push it aside. They don't deal with it. So they don't accept that garment that the king is talking about in this story. They don't offer the gift of salvation. They don't receive it. So that means they're not clothed with that garment, with that robe of righteousness. But this is where people really mess up. They put it off till tomorrow, like I do when Sierra tells me to do chores. Will you do so-and-so? I will a little bit. You can ask her how many things that are still waiting on a little bit to get done. But people put it off. But here's the bad news. The Holy Spirit, we're promised that God will deal with each person at least one time. At least one time. But we're not guaranteed anything over that one time. The Holy Spirit may deal with you today as you're sitting in this place, or you're sitting on the couch at home watching on Facebook or wherever you're watching from, and you get up and you fall over a heart attack. You rejected Him that one time. He dealt with you one time. It's available. It's there. All you got to do is accept it. But you rejected it that one time, and before you know it, you woke up in eternity. I know people that they say that the Lord dealt with them many times, and they were fortunate that the Lord dealt with them many times. But folks, we're not promised that luxury. We're not. Tomorrow is not a certainty. If there's ever been a time that people need to realize that, it is now. I mean, California, that whole state is burning to the ground. I mean, look at it. Tomorrow is not a certainty. It's not promised. What is promised is what the Lord is dealing with you right now. Right now. The king sent out a servant to invite people to whoever would come. Come, put on this garment and come to the wedding. The invitation was there, but they had to accept it. They had to accept it. Don't put it off this morning. If the Lord deals with your heart, don't put it off. The Lord is not going to promise you that He'll deal with you again tomorrow. If He's dealing with you today, get saved today. Because there will come a time when the Spirit of God has been turned away enough in your life that He said, all right, I'm not doing it anymore. And at that point, it's too late. It's too late. If a person fails to respond to the call that's on their life of the Lord dealing with their heart for salvation, And he puts it off. There's the danger of stepping over that line. You know, we used to see him draw a line in the sand. Don't step over that line. You've just stepped over it, buddy. I want you to see a second thing. The first thing was the garment is available. It's available to everyone. The king sent out a service to offer this garment, this wedding garment, this invitation to everyone. The second thing I want to look at is the acceptance of it. The acceptance of the garment. Look there at the end of verse 10. And it says, "And the wedding was furnished with guests." In other words, people showed up. People came. People accepted that invitation to come to the wedding. People showed up. They were there. Now, it was common in these weddings, that especially if there was wealthy involved or anything like that, to where each person would wear a white garment. When the guests would accept the invitation, it was not just a card that they were given or anything like that. They would be giving something to wear. Like now, today's weddings, whenever the bride and groom-to-be picks out their everything for their wedding, the groom wears a tuxedo and the groomsman wears stuff to match him. Same for the bride. The bride wears white, but the bridesmaid do not wear white. They wear something else, but they all wear something that has been appointed to them to wear to the wedding. Here in this time, whoever came to the wedding, it didn't matter. Everybody wore the same exact thing. Everyone wore the same covering, the same garment. Everyone was equal. When the guests accepted the invitation, they would be given this garment, and then they would wear it on the day that they arrived to this celebration. Same as the picture of salvation in our lives. My salvation is the same as Brother Darrell's salvation. It's the same robe of righteousness that covered my sins, that covered his sins, and your sins, and your sins. Everybody's sins. It's the same robe of righteousness. It's the same Savior. Now, he may do it in a different fashion. He may your life may be different than my life. But guess what? He saves in the same fashion, and when he gives you that robe of righteousness, when he gives you that garment to wear to the wedding, it's the same as mine as yours is. When the robe, when the garment is accepted, the sins, whatever that person was wearing, it wasn't looked on or frowned upon anymore. Why? Because that white garment covered it up. Now think about this. Whenever they were, the king sent his servants out into the kingdom to give out the invitation and to hand out these garments, think about the types of people that they would find. Because everybody was invited. So you had rich people, but you also had poor people. Now, I'm not sure. We all have seen movies that were based on having kings and kingdoms and everything like that. There were folks that were poor, poor. That their clothes were rags. They had more holes in them than what they had material. They were dirty. They were filthy. They had not brushed their teeth that morning. But guess what? They were given the same robe as the rich person was. And when they showed up at the wedding, it was covered. Everything was covered. Everything, their filthiness, their dirtiness, everything was covered from head to toe. It was covered up. You see, there's no unequals when it comes to God and His salvation. Everybody is on a level playing field. It don't matter if you're rich or poor. It don't matter if you took a shower this morning or you come to church stinking. It doesn't matter. Because when Jesus takes over, When he comes in the scene, when he takes over and you put on that white, clean garment, when you get filled with his righteousness and covered with his blood, it doesn't matter anymore, because when God the Father looks at you, guess what he sees? Jesus. Jesus. The wedding garment is given to every believer at the instant of their conversion. It's instant. And it's worn by you all the time. It don't matter if you're wearing blue jeans or a coat and tie, you're still wearing that robe of righteousness that God has put on your life. I want you to see some things that was about this robe when it's accepted. It's accepted by faith. This garment was given so that you could get there, so that you could get in, so that you could have access to the celebration. But it's received by faith that you're going to accept it, that you're going to wear it, and it's going to take over your life. You see, the way to get this wedding garment is just a simple faith. A simple faith is given to those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Those who accept the wedding invitation. You see, no one will ever get a garment to wear by being religious or anything else, being good or anything else. It's only given to the sinner who places his faith in the atoning, cleansing work of Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The garment is free. It's available to everyone. When the king sent his servants out, he didn't send these garments and these invitations out when they say, hey, won't you come to the wedding? But hey, to get there, you got to give me $5. It didn't work that way. The invitation was given to whoever was accepted. Why? Because they had already been paid for. The garments had already been paid for. The king had already paid for them. Folks, if you're not getting this morning, your salvation has already been paid for today. It's been paid for. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, God gives them the wedding garment. Salvation cannot be purchased. Why? Because it's already been bought and it's not for sale. The garment is also perfect. It's a perfect fit for everybody. It's a one size fits all perfectly. You know, you buy those one size fits all hats or something like that, that's bull malarkey. It don't fit everybody. There's no way. But when this garment is accepted, it's the perfect fit for each and every person. If you scroll through social media, especially Facebook, especially the ladies, if you scroll through Facebook, you're at least once a month, you're going to see, well, I bought this shirt, and it says it was this size, but it fits like it's this size, so I'm going to sell it for $5. And you'll have 35 people say, I want it, I want it. When I was growing up, especially in middle school and high school, I didn't put on any weight from my seventh grade year till about 2 years ago. Just about it. Do you know how difficult it is to find a 27-32 pair of jeans for a grown man? You don't. Mom used to have to special order them online to get me a pair of pants to wear. If you went up to a common size, say a 29 or a 30, 32, guess what? It didn't fit. They do now when they're quite snug. But see, the robe that Jesus gives us in His righteousness is the perfect fit for each and every one that accepts it. The garment is perfect. The salvation that Jesus offers is perfect. It's the one size fits all. But this garment is required. It's required by the Father. You see, in this parable, the king came and he saw a man without the wedding garment. He wasn't wearing it. He came to the wedding and we're told that he was forced out and rejected by the king. The garment was a requirement to be in the presence of this wedding, of this celebration. It was a requirement in order to attend the wedding. The same is true for you getting into heaven. The only way you're going to get into heaven is by knowing the Son. That's the only way you're going to get to the Father is through the Son, through Jesus Christ. If you show up one day, and everybody is going to show up one day before God, and you show up at this celebration, and you're not wearing the right attire, guess what? You're not going to be welcomed either. You will not gain entry to the celebration. Every person, though, that is clothed with God's righteousness will be accepted, will be welcomed, and will be all alike. All alike. You see, religion won't do it. Good works won't do it. Being a good person, being kind won't do it. The only way to get you clothed in the right way, to make you pleasing in the Lord's sight, is you accepting Him as Savior. That's the only way for you to be clothed in righteousness. You can't buy it on the clearance rack right now at JCPenney's. When you arrive in heaven, you will not be admitted on the basis of what you did or did not do outside accepting Christ as your Savior. We will be admitted purely on the basis of how we're dressed, whether you're ready for the wedding or not. It don't matter what you wear to church. It don't matter what you wear to work. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you wear to the wedding. Are y'all following me this morning? You see, the garment is available to everyone. The garment must be accepted by everyone. Number three, we see the ability of the garment. Look at verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou come here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In weddings today, like I said earlier, the bride wears a white dress. She does not do that to stand, she does that to stand out from the others. If you go to the wedding, that is her day. That is her day. It is the bride's day. All the focus is on her. She has dressed in white for her husband to be. But like we talked about earlier, in an ancient wedding, everybody looked the same. They all wore the same type garments. They all dressed alike. It's the same with salvation. When a person comes to Jesus to be saved, He changes you completely. That's the ability of this garment. it changes you to where you don't even look, you don't act, you don't do the things of the old person anymore. This garment has miraculous powers. It has the power to where it puts a filter on you. Everybody that does pictures and all do selfies and all, and the kids now, me and Natalie loves it. Abby and Charlotte does too. They'll sit in my lap, and you can go on your camera app or whatever, and they have these different filters to where it puts different silly stuff and all on your face, and you have to open your mouth, go, ah, for it to do certain things, or you have to nod your head and shake your head, all these things. It changes what you look like. This righteousness, this robe, this wedding garment that you accept, it makes you look different. But not necessarily to the ones around you. Sometimes people can't necessarily tell just by looking. Sometimes they have to see how you act and the way you talk and things like that. But guess what? God always sees you with this filter. It's the blood covering. It's the blood. He sees you through the blood of His Son. That's the way Jesus sees you. This morning, whether you like it or not, and there's a lot of preachers in pulpits this morning that won't like this, it doesn't matter if you come to church in a coat and tie or not. You know why? Because Jesus don't see it. God don't see it. I can't say that in every pulpit, but I can say it here. Same. We're the same. When we're saved, we're all the same. We're all children of God. There's no red-headed stepchild, even so some of us act like heathens occasionally. But we're all wearing the same thing. We're all going to the same wedding. We're all going to the same heaven. There's not going to be boundary lines. If you see them in the Bible, point them out where it said there's going to be Baptists over here, Methodists over there. Pentecostals, they're going to be everywhere because they're going to be running around. The invitation is given to everyone. I can't say that in every pulpit neither, but I can say it here. It's good to know y'all ain't asleep. So, oh, this invitation was given to everyone. To everyone. To the ones that were filthy, to the ones that were wearing rags, to the beggars, to the thieves, to the murderers, to the rapist. It was given to all of them. See, we've done a really good job as Christians picking and choosing who can go. When the Father said, all of them are invited. We judge because we don't see people like God sees them. We don't see them just lost in their sins and not knowing any better. We see all the things that they've done or haven't done, or the way that they've hurt us, or the things that they say. Oh, if we could just see people like God sees them. All that could be seen at this wedding was white, pure, clean wedding garment. The Bible tells us that our own righteousness is like filthy rags. It don't matter how expensive your clothes are. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But when a person places his faith in Jesus, they are covered with His righteousness. Thank God. When we are saved, we are seen clean, without blemish, perfect. Why? Because we are in the image of Jesus. But I want you to notice one more thing, and I'll close with this. I want you to notice what you look like without the garment. Verse 12 through 14, it says, "And he said unto him, Friend, how have you come here to this wedding without a garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness." Sounds familiar again, doesn't it? "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." After the guests arrived at this wedding, the king saw this man that didn't have on the proper attire, that didn't have on this robe of righteousness, who did not have on the wedding garment. And when the king saw this man without the garment, he confronted him about it. Now, we're people today that don't like confrontation, but can I tell you, there's going to be a time when we're all going to be confronted. Every one of us. There's going to come a day when each and every person will have to face God. For the saved, we have a place at the judgment seat of Christ. For the lost, the great white throne of judgment. Every person who lived and died, every person who lived and died without the wedding garment will have to stand before God Himself and try to come up with an account of their life and what they did and why they didn't accept Him. But you know what happens? And he was speechless. There's no excuse at that point. There's no excuse you can give for the condition that you were in or why you weren't wearing the wedding garment. There is no reason to offer any apologies. And guess what? It won't do you any good to ask for that garment at that point because it's too late. That's what happens when we all get judged. If you go before God without the garment, it's not going to matter what you say at that point. It's not going to matter what you offer, what you promise, or what you ask Him to do for you. Because at that point, He's not going to listen to your case anymore. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the judge. No excuse. No appeal. Nothing. It'll all fall on deaf ears. How terrible would it be to know that the Holy Spirit dealt with you however many times and you put it off? You didn't accept the invitation to be saved. You didn't accept the invitation to that great celebration one day, and you wake up being judged by God Himself. Verse 13 tells us that this man woke up or was cast into outer darkness. In case you don't get this, that is a picture of hell. That is a picture of hell. Every person who leaves this world clothed in their own righteousness, clothed in their own sins, and not in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, will spend an eternity in hell apart from God. God is light. Hell is not. You'll spend an eternity apart from, separated from the very one who made a way for you not to be there. It's an awful place. But it's a destination that you do not have to go for. You don't have to go there. It was not created for you. But without Jesus, you will very much so go there one day. Accept Him today. Accept Jesus today. There's people out there that say, well, my life is terrible. If the Lord's dealing with your heart to get saved, what have you got to lose? Will you have bad times that come up? Absolutely. I don't know of a Christian that's had a perfect life since they got saved. Jesus came for the sins of the world, and He was the perfect Savior. He was the sacrificial lamb. He was without blemish, without spot, and guess what? He still had bad days. But now He's in heaven. Are you dressed for the wedding today? I'm not talking about the brand clothing that you wear. Have you been clothed with the righteousness of God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior today? If not, today would be a good day for it. If you've got a burden, this altar is a good place to carry it and leave it there. And I don't know of one person that's here this morning that don't have something that they need help with. There's nothing too big, nothing too small that God can't provide. Let's stand, let's pray. The altar's open. You do as the Lord leads you this morning.